Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. On the heels of the UN General Assembly, President Biden and Ukraine's leader will meet at the White House tomorrow. The president's set to announce another round of military aid to defend against Russian attacks. But Republicans are criticizing Zelensky.
In an interview with The New Yorker, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said that Donald Trump, quote, really doesn't know how to stop the war, even if he might think he knows how. In North Carolina, Trump responded to what he called nasty aspersions.
And we continue to give billions of dollars to a man who refuses to make a deal, Zelensky.
House Republicans are now accusing Zelensky of interfering in the U.S. election, pointing to a recent flight on an Air Force C-17 to the battleground state of Pennsylvania.
ABC Stephen Portnoy. House lawmakers passed a short-term funding bill averting a government shutdown. The Senate is in the process of voting. Hurricane Helene churning in the Gulf and gunning for Florida's west coast near Tampa. It's expected to make landfall tomorrow night. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. We used to call it Schwann's. Now the owners of Yellow, with an O, tell Wisconsin workforce officials it's getting out of the frozen food delivery business in November. The company is based in Minnesota. It's been delivering frozen food to homes since 1952. 79 people in Wisconsin will lose their jobs. The company blames problems with staffing and the food supply chain. Small farmers want the next farm bill to safeguard against weather disruptions caused by climate change. Chuck Anderis is with the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute.
These practices infiltrate more water and hold more water in the soil and make a huge difference on the amount of water coming off of farm fields.
The current farm bill expires in less than a week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Superior National Forest has received $10 million in federal funding for efforts to protect and preserve the area. According to forest officials, the Kawashiwi District and LaCroix District of the Forest each received $5 million of funding for the Collaborative Wildfire Risk Reduction Program. The program seeks to protect the forest as a whole from wildfire dangers by using mechanical treatments or prescribed burns to clear dead trees that could exacerbate a wildfire. Part of the funding will also go towards educating the public. A Duluth man was arrested in connection to a drive-by shooting on Sunday. According to the Duluth Police Department, the shooting occurred in the Lester Park neighborhood at around 4:15 p.m. on Sunday. Authorities say while there were people in the home when the shooting occurred, nobody was reported injured. They also say the suspect and the residents of the home knew each other, though they have not revealed a possible motive for the shooting. A small amount of meth was also found on the suspect when he was brought to jail. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
A potential playoff preview looms this week. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Milwaukee Brewers are all but locked into the third seed in next month's MLB playoffs. The NL Central champions beat Pittsburgh yesterday 7-2. The Brewers will play the Pirates again this evening. This weekend, Milwaukee takes on the New York Mets in what could be a playoff matchup. Green Bay has won two in a row with backup quarterback Malik Willis at the helm. Willis said he has to be prepared if his number is called.
And I've had a lot of time to just, you know, work hard and just grind every day in order to make use of my next opportunity, which I've been just trying to do this last 2 weeks. And I think more than anything, you just try to continue to work hard and understand that you don't know when the opportunity will come, but you have to be ready for it if you get it.
Starting quarterback Jordan Love, who practiced all of last week, has missed two games with an MCL sprain, but could return this week. Kickoff against the Minnesota Vikings is at noon on Sunday. The Milwaukee Bucks are making a, quote, major ownership announcement Thursday morning. Bucks co-owner Jimmy Haslam will be speaking. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A clear sky tonight, a low in the low 50s. Mostly sunny and warmer for tomorrow, a high around 80. And low 80s with a mostly sunny sky Friday. For the upcoming weekend, more sunshine than clouds and temps stay mild with highs around 80. Currently at 75 degrees.
Matt Nair on Air.
Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area and now Civic Media's new political editor.
Jane, I know you like to talk about our assembly speaker.
Popcorn King, yes, Robin Voss.
So there is a potential outcome with these new maps where Greta Neubauer is the assembly speaker and Robin Voss is the minority leader. How does that sound, Jane?
I feel like my birthday came early.
Matt Nair on Air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as our West Coast trip continues live from Los Angeles, California, Hermosa Beach. Kelly Call, former CBS executive and producer of Just a Bit Outside, joins us live.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on Air.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Hey, welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for listening. Appreciate all of you. Appreciate Matt Rothschild being in the studio with me. Thank you, Matt. Appreciate Jess on the board. We're going to need your services this afternoon as well. She's on the board. She's on the lines at 855-752-4842. A lot to get through this hour. Still have some polling we want to get to. We got some articles from the Washington Post, and we have some shenanigans going on in the great city of Wausau, Wisconsin, among other things, and we will get to it all, Matt, but the polling. Let's talk about some polling.
Well, the polling that strikes me as the most promising, and the national polls are so close, it's horrifying, but the good news is just how well Kamala Harris is doing among young people between the ages of 18 in 29, the Harvard Kennedy School did a poll yesterday that showed she has a 31-point lead in this demographic.
Wow.
And, hell yeah.
And among young women in that age group, 18 to 29, 47-point spread.
Oh!
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a whooping.
47?
Yeah.
Woo!
That's terrible.
I mean, Trump is not doing well among young people and especially not doing well among young women.
I can't imagine why.
Little surprise.
Oh, my God. Let's see. According, this is the polling here. The poll surveyed more than 2,000 individuals under 30 from September 4th through the 16th. Underscores a noticeable shift after Harris took over the ticket. Yeah, thankfully. While it's unclear who those individuals may ultimately vote for, the groups tend to vote Democrat, and in that interest, particularly among young women, is reflected. As mentioned, in the spring poll, young female likely voters sided with Biden over Trump by 22 points. But in the latest survey, their support for Harris is even more pronounced. 47.
More pronounced. It's more than doubled.
I mean,
come on, man.
More pronounced.
Spell it out.
Come on, NPR. That's just an ass kicking. I mean, that's brutal. And if the volume of those folks come out, if these younger voters come out, and maybe they haven't been engaged yet. You know how it is, man. You're that age. Hopefully you get more engaged the older you get.
But this is one reason I think she's going to win, though, because there are a lot of young women. There are a lot of young people in that category who've never voted before, so they don't count in the polls. Poll takers are looking at two things, registered voters and likely voters. If you haven't voted yet, you're not a registered voter, and you're certainly not a likely voter. But, you know, with these poll numbers, and again, it Taylor Swift is going to have a huge impact here on some of these young women. And, you know, I'm hoping that there, and I'm sure there is, just tremendous organizing on college campuses here in Wisconsin and the other swing states. I bet Planned Parenthood's doing it. I bet the Harris campaign's doing it. You know, sign these people up, get them registered, and make sure they're voting. And another thing that the Harris campaign's doing so much better than Trump, ground game. So I imagine they've got those organizers working on it. And so those are two of the big reasons why I think Kamala Harris is going to win.
A little more on this polling as well. This one from the Raw story, and bear with me a little bit, but it bears repeating. According to the Raw story, women like North Carolina Governor, Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. Well, I'm just butchering this. Let me start over. Women like North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, the gubernatorial candidate recently linked to boasts of an affair with his wife's sister on a porn site, more than former President Donald Trump's own supporters like his running mate, J.D. Vance. Robinson is more like than J.D. Vance.
Oh, no. Yeah, J.D. Vance has been a nightmare for Trump. I mean, he believed his sons on this one, took the son's advice, and went with J.D. Vance, who's just not helping at all.
Now, the bulwark on Wednesday, they heaped scorn, I tell you, upon Vance over recently released Harvard Youth Poll data that found Vance's only feud favorably by 18% of voters between the ages of 18 and 30. Oof. 18%.
And he was supposed to help them with young people.
Now, the editor of the Bulwark said that the data found that 27% of North Carolina women view Robinson favorably. So two different polls, but he's making the point. And I'll quote, "The guy who said the Holocaust was overblown and Hitler was great, Oof. Who wants to own slaves, who was a frequenter of backroom porn video booths, and who bragged about banging his wife's sister, that guy was able to get to 27% favorable with women in North Carolina. But J.D. Vance is stuck at 18% among people who are basically his same age." And I had to look it up. Vance is 40 years old. He just turned 40.
Robinson's dropping, though, like a stone here.
Oh, yeah. There's more to that, too. But apparently he's supposed to be hiring folks. Stand by. It's happening very soon, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
There's more to it, but the conclusion is awesome. This Harvard poll did not test favorability ratings for the Taliban or Vladimir Putin or herpes. If they had, I'm sure all three would have been less popular than J.D. Vance, but not by much. Ouch.
I'm waiting for that debate Tuesday night.
Oh, for real. 855-752-4842.
And Tim Walz is so great, by contrast. And so, you know, he's so Midwestern. I mean, he's like an old shoe here for those of us in Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah.
And totally relatable. Speaks like a normal person, not like a polished politician. And just was a great pick. You know, Kamala Harris hasn't made a mistake since she got the nomination. I think she might be making a mistake going down to the border, because I think that's not going to help her. But she's had a run of flawless campaign up to now.
That's a great point, Matt. I haven't seen, even on the right, they're just, you know, they're grasping at straws. They're screaming to the wind about, I always get the notices from Fox News. So it's been 48 days since Kamala Harris has not had a press conference, or 60 days or whatever. But, you know, she's out there. She's out there today, and she will continue to be out there. J.D. Vance, 40 years old. Tim Walz, 60 years old. Tim Walz got some experience.
Older, too.
He does look older. And not too old, though. You know, I think the comparison between young and old, that can be a negative, certainly. But I think, and Vance is a smart guy. You can't put that past him. But Walz has experience. Like I said, he's Midwestern. He speaks like normal folks. And he's got a lot of experience, man. I mean, the guy's been in the service for a long time. You compare that to Vance, who's also served, right? Congressman, governor, all these things, and has a track record. J.D. Vance is, you know, he's been plucked up and propped up by a billionaire, and this is what he does. He's on the end of the strings, man.
Right. Yeah, by, you know, a right-wing libertarian billionaire who paved the way for his whole career, whereas, you know, Walz, you know, he was teaching social studies for for two decades and coaching football.
Well, he wasn't the head coach, so come on, man. I know. I mean, the criticisms are, but they're lacking. I think to your point, there hasn't been a stumble, in my opinion, of the Harris Walz campaign yet.
Really, a flawless campaign, which is astonishing.
That's interesting.
Over time.
And we want to get to this piece in the Washington Post, but let me ask you. You brought up the border thing, and she is going to go down to the border, and this is something that the righties are all upset about. But my understanding now, border crossings are down back to even before, you know, closer before to Trump's time. So things are way down compared to what they were.
Yeah, and she's also able to say what she said before, and she said at the DNC that, look, we had this agreement, this bipartisan agreement with very conservative Republicans, and Trump deep-sixed it. Otherwise, we'd have been able to do more at the border. So who's to blame here? So she can say that, but I think every time she's talking about immigration, she's on his turf. Whereas every time Trump's talking about abortion, he's on her turf. And she, I think she should just play to her strength, but I'm not running. I'm not running her campaign.
No, and I get that. But it's also like inflation. I don't think you can. I mean, immigration is a topic. It's obviously a very high topic, and perhaps it's misunderstood and misrepresented, certainly by the right. And I think for that very reason, she needs to address it. I think it's very important. If she doesn't, she can't not talk about it. And she can talk about it in the terms, as you mentioned, hey, you know, your guy killed this thing. Right. Well, you could have done something more. Oh, okay, whatever. But your guy killed this thing. You can stay on focus. And what she could have not done as the vice president in the Biden administration is something that can be discussed. But
well, Biden gave her an impossible task, though. You know, be our point person on immigration. It's an impossible problem to solve.
Well, I mean,
if Congress isn't going to change the law, well, I mean, what does she do? All she could do is go to Guatemala and say, "Don't come here." You know.
Well, didn't Vice President Pence have a similar duty as well assigned to him from the president, if from Trump at the time? But I can double check that. But that's my understanding. Everybody, you know, has a policy towards our southern border. But certainly, come on, man, you wouldn't fall off the coconut tree. We have a history with South America. Come on, man. You know, that we have from the corporations and our foreign policy. And
all right. I mean, look what, you know, the United States has done in El Salvador and Guatemala, what it tried to do in Nicaragua, what it's done in Venezuela. It's not like, you know, we're operating in a vacuum here. I mean, they wait 100 years of call what it is, imperialism in Latin America.
And there's still some legacy left from that even to this day. I mean, but that history is important. And I think to Harris's point, when she was appointed by Biden to dig into it and, you know, have an understanding of that, those things are important. You know, 120 years of policy with our southern neighbors and what was done and how it was done. I think those are things that need to be discussed. I think most people have no idea, Matt. Literally have zero idea. They just, here we are, and all these people are coming here. And to them, it's just out of the blue. And that's not the case.
Yeah, no, it's a bloody history, a shameful history, U.S. policy in Latin America.
So, but addressing, yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I mean, you look at El Salvador, the United States was funding the death squads in El Salvador that killed between 70,000 people and 150,000 people. We were funding the Rios Montt government in Guatemala in the 1980s that killed 150 to 200,000 people, peasants, trade unionists, human rights lawyers, and activists. I mean, come on.
Don't forget,
overthrow the government of Chile.
Yeah, okay, all right.
I mean, it goes on and on and on.
It goes, and that's not ancient history, right? This isn't 200 years ago. This is in the recent history.
Yeah.
Our influence and our continued influence. But for the vice president to address, you know, one of these challenges head on. I know what you're saying. I think it's important though. She needs to address it, just like the inflation, you know. And I think it needs to be said over and over again. You know, we're in the situation now where we're over the hump and through it. But there were decisions made back then that could have been different. That could have been much worse for us in the long run. And if the decisions that were made, and certainly not necessarily by the Biden administration.
No, but, I mean, I think the Fed could have raised interest rates earlier than it did.
Right.
And just slowly, you know, when you're giving people their $1,200, $1,400 checks and throwing money out the window, which was necessary, but there was pent-up demand once COVID lifted and people wanted to go out and spend. If people are going out and spend, it's going to get overheated. And so they should have started lifting up the rates before they did. And that's the Fed's job.
That's the Fed. That's not what Biden does. Biden doesn't tell. The administrations don't tell the Fed what to do. Although some Dems were saying it, although they can suggest all they want, they have no direct consequence to the Fed. And although Donald Trump would certainly like to be a dictator, he can't do it either. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. That's Matt Rothschild. Jess is on the board coming back. Alexandra Petri at the Washington Post has a great piece. We're going to dive into that too.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
I'm Sawyer. And I'm Shannon. Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
It's time to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store and get ready to text in for your chance to win in this statewide contest. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. Your news just for the Amory area. I'm James Kelly with WLAK News.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot.
Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's like the red alert, the,
right?
Yeah, that was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like
right, yeah, lean left, great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Phone lines are open 855-752-4842. Matt Rothschild in the studio with me. Jess is on the board and on the lines. We were talking about some polling earlier, Matt. Women between the age of, 18 and 29, 18 and 30, are favoring Harris with a margin of 47 points.
Yeah, that's got to be the widest lead ever in that category.
And we talked, I think that was yesterday, when Donald Trump said, you know, I'm gonna take care of all you women. Ugh. It's you're not gonna be lonely. You're not gonna be afraid.
I am your protector.
I mean, and this is in my understanding, because he was reading this off a teleprompter. This was done with purpose. This wasn't him just going off the rails and saying stupid, crazy, creepy things. Like, this is what somebody thought is what exactly women want to hear.
I don't think a woman wrote that, though.
No.
And so, a satirical piece by Alexandria Petrie at the Washington Post. It was something that really caught my eye today, and I shared it with both Matt and Jess. And you know, I'm not real great at the reading on the louding on the air. And this one in particular, I thought was necessary to have a female voice. And Jess has volunteered to dive into this piece with us. Just the floor is yours.
It is so much nicer being a woman now that Donald Trump is in charge. You barely remember the Biden times at all, except in nightmares. In the dreams, regular eggs cost as much as Fabergé eggs. All the food at the grocery store is too expensive, if you made it to the store at all without being killed. Sometimes twice. Also, you were always thinking about abortion. But then you wake up all the way and Donald Trump is protecting you and you are not thinking about abortion. Mostly you feel wonderful all the time. Happy and confident and not depressed because all that has been fixed. Every single problem the country had, poof! And all you had to do was stop thinking about abortion. Now, Donald Trump is back, and you are not thinking about anything. All your anxieties are gone now that men are handling all the country's problems. It would have been a mistake to put a woman in charge. Fortunately, that did not happen. Fortunately, Donald Trump is guarding you. You are guarded. You are not worrying your pretty little head. Donald Trump is protecting you, just like the Bible said would happen. It didn't mention him by name, but that was implied. It was so tough in the before times, when you had to act as though you were a person. It was exhausting, like a dog standing on its hind legs all day. Of course, you weren't a person, not really. And it is so much nicer to get to stop pretending. Much more restful this way. You are not thinking about abortion. Abortion is back in the hands of those who know best. The choice was the exhausting part. Now you get to be a blessed vessel and raise up as many children as they have decided is best. It is much nicer now. Before, you thought abortion might even be a reason to vote. You voted. You could laugh or cry when you think about it. You aren't sure which. Donald Trump will know. Thank God the national nightmare of forcing you to make choices as though your thoughts and desires mattered is at an end. You wake up and smile at the picture of your patron saint, Donald Trump. You go to the market. J.D. Vance is in charge of eggs now. He has been lecturing the hens about the need to fertilize more of them. And buy one dozen. They cost exactly the right amount. You are not thinking about abortion. Nothing is the matter here. You are so much more relaxed now that the country has no more problems. Sometimes you don't think that all of them were problems, but the thought is quick to vanish. You don't think about abortion. How could you think about abortion? There is no abortion here. It is in the states where it belongs. It isn't where you are. It's not important. You're not important. Donald Trump is protecting you.
Great voice work by
Wow.
Jess.
Wow, well done, Jess. Alexandra Petrie at the Washington Post read by Jess so eloquently. His quote, "You will no longer be abandoned, lonely, or scared. You will no longer be in danger. You're not going to be in danger any longer. You will no longer have anxiety from all the problems our country has today. You will be protected. I will be your protector. Women will be happy, healthy, confident, and free. You will no longer be thinking about abortion."
I mean, the guy is so deluded. He's such a narcissist. He's such a megalomaniac. He can solve everybody's problem all at once with that magic wand. As Maggie Dawn said in the last show here on Civic Media, I mean, this is just the very definition of paternalism. You can't get more paternalistic than this.
No. I mean, again, someone thought that was a good thing to say. Really? Someone thought this is really going to reach women.
It's going to help bridge that gap that he's got with.
They're going to be so excited to vote, but then they'll never have to vote again.
No, never have to. And never have to worry about
it. They don't have to worry about it.
Don't worry your pretty little head about it.
No one has to vote again. No one's ever going to have an abortion again.
It will be grand. It will be Rainbow Land.
And this is what he sells. This is the con man. He's just constantly.
It's Rainbow Land. Rainbow Land isn't Rainbow real. Land. We got to find those guys. And there's a reason why, apparently, Donald Trump is losing, 47 points. The margin is 47 points. And this is why.
That's astounding.
And I heard something, read something yesterday. I can't quote from the source, but it made some sense to me that perhaps this was written by men about women for men. This wasn't written for women. It's about women. It relates to women. It talks about women, but it was written for men. And that's the only way that I can put my head around why someone would think that Donald Trump's quotes yesterday would be in some way help him with the female vote.
And this is why I think, obviously it was written by men, maybe for men, but there are going to be women who go in who lie to their husband on their way out the door and say they voted for Trump and they're not going to vote for Trump because of this issue and just because of his, horrible personality.
Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you, Jess. Well done, Matt Rothschild in studio with me. I'm going to bring this back home a little bit, but we also have the president addressing the UN General Assembly yesterday. We have some notes on that. I want to talk a little bit about that, of course. Some foreign policy, you got to address some of those things as well. And the mayor up in Wausau, not our friend, but this other guy, Denny, trying to steal some drop boxes?
Moving a drop box?
What? Folks, we'll be right back. Join us.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin is getting $3 million for new opioid treatment and recovery services in small towns. Core Treatment Services of Manitowoc will create new access points for services or expand existing access points. The money will also go to collaborate with social workers to make sure communities are getting the services they need. It's Banned Books Week. Peter Bromberg with the group Every Library says more restrictions on reading make banned books more important.
Having access to the stories of people who have different cultures, different beliefs, different perspectives, maybe different life experiences, and that builds an understanding and an empathy. That's the necessary grease on the wheels of a democracy and a pluralistic society.
More than 100 Wisconsin school districts have had books challenged since 2020. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. A Minnesota man who had not returned from a hunting trip in Pierce County over the weekend has been pronounced dead. According to the Pierce County Sheriff's Office, 73-year-old Bruce Bang of Red Wing was out bow hunting on Friday, but did not return when he was expected to. At around 8:30, another hunter contacted police to report a man that appeared to be dead in the area. Authorities attempted life-saving measures when they arrived, but were unsuccessful. Authorities have not announced exactly how Bang was killed. A Duluth Addiction Treatment Center has received a $100,000 donation. Members of a community race team took part in the annual Breezy Point 5K to support the Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge and raised over $100,000 for the cause. It was the 16th iteration of the race, which saw over 600 participants and volunteers. On Monday, they presented the $100,000 check to the organization's Duluth office. The remainder of the money raised went to a volunteer fire department. And that's what you need to know. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. All of Batman's tangential characters do well with spinoffs. Case in point, HBO saw some big numbers for the premiere of The Penguin. Variety is reporting 5.3 million viewers in the first 4 days since being released. That is the most amount of eyes on a Max show since the premiere of The Last of Us 18 months ago. The show stars Colin Farrell as the title character. In a million years, you'd never recognize him. The story picks up a week after the events of 2022's The Batman, where mob kingpin Carmine Falcone dies and director Matt Reeves says the story will mesh with Batman 3, which he says is all part of his epic crime saga. Speaking of Farrell, the actress says playing the role of the Penguin takes him to some pretty dark places. How dark? The actress says some days after filming, he just sits and watches Pixar movies. To help shake the darkness after long days of shooting, Farrell says he improves his mood by watching the Toy Story films for something light and beautiful. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A clear sky tonight, a low in the low 50s. Mostly sunny and warmer for tomorrow, a high around 80. And low 80s with a mostly sunny sky Friday. For the upcoming weekend, more sunshine than clouds and temps stay mild with highs around 80. Currently at 75 degrees.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It is National Monte Cristo Day. It's kind of one of those sandwiches. It's like bell bottoms. You just haven't heard about it in like 40 years. But it got me thinking. What's a sandwich that's totally overrated? I'm going to go first. The Philly cheesesteak.
Really?
Yeah. And I'll tell you why. Because I'm spoiled. Because in Wisconsin, we have the brat packed with tons more taste than a Philly cheesesteak.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll catch up with another state Senate candidate trying to make a difference as part of our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning starting at 6.
We'll be right back.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you for listening. You can be a part at 855-752-4842. A little Jay Ferguson getting us going this afternoon. Matt Rothschild sitting in the studio with me, Jess, playing the tunes. Thank you, Jess. I love that song, man.
You're very welcome.
And you can join us 855-75-CIVIC. As mentioned, the president. There is still a president, and we haven't seen much of him lately, but he was busy yesterday addressing the General Assembly at the United Nations. Matt, and I think we got to give the man due. I mean, this is his last time. He's ever going to do it. He's walking off the world stage. What was your takeaway on that?
I thought he gave a really good speech. I mean, it's bittersweet hearing him now, you know, because he's doing his swan song. He does have a tremendous grasp of, you know, where we've been as a country over his entire career. Yeah. He spelled that out in some detail at the United Nations. I thought it was smart. He talked about, you know, still being optimistic, which is his nature, you know, not giving up on the international order and international rules and things like that in comparison to, you know, Putin and Xi and Trump. And so I think the contrast was pretty clear that he was laying out for everybody.
One of the cuts I know you really enjoyed, his choice to step down. I want to start with that one. Let's do cut number six, please, Jess.
I made the preservation of democracy the central cause of my presidency. This summer, I faced a decision whether to seek a second term as president. It was a difficult decision. Being president has been the honor of my life. There's so much more I want to get done. As much as I love the job, I love my country more. I decided after 50 years of public service, it's time for a new generation of leadership to take my nation forward. My fellow leaders, let us never forget, some things are more important than staying in power. It's your people.
Really classic, huh?
Yeah.
It's your people that matter the most. Never forget, we are here to serve the people, not the other way around, because the future will be won by those who unleash the full potential of their people, to breathe free, to think freely, to innovate, to educate, to live and love openly without fear. That's the soul of democracy.
I mean, it is such a rare thing to have a politician willingly give up power. And yeah, he was pressured, but he could have stayed. He could have said, I got my 14 million votes.
Yep.
You know, I won this sucker, and I'm the candidate. And just, you know, go away. But he didn't do that. And I do think he's come around to accepting and maybe being relieved by that acceptance, too.
It's a lot of weight.
Yeah. And he can look back with pride as to what he's accomplished as president and prior to being president in his illustrious career. And he took a principled stand by stepping down. And yeah, he did get some clapping there. I wonder how many leaders really agreed with them that they want to give up power too. I doubt there were many.
No, right.
But I actually chose to keep in all of that applause.
Yeah.
A lot of times when I'm doing some of this editing for the shows, I'll cut it down. I made a choice to keep that in because you can hear how many world leaders are there recognizing that this is a man who knows diplomacy. This is a man who knows how to lead effectively, how to communicate effectively, and they know what the alternatives are.
Yeah, and he did something I think few of them would do. So it was just such a neat little moment there with the applause, too. So I'm glad you kept that.
Yeah, it really was. And good point, Jess. You know, the leadership that he showed, as mentioned, by stepping down and recognizing the moment, recognizing what needed to be done and actually going ahead and doing that. And to hear the audience and the applause at the United Nations, I love the fact that, you know, in the same breath that he's bringing up the people and recognizing that, you know, ultimate power for the sake of power is not what it's all about. While he's recognizing those things, he's also putting down, you know, the authoritarians.
Right.
Exactly. He's also knocking them down in the way that he's lifting up, you know, the people. He's knocking down the authoritarian and the fascist types. And it was so graceful. Again, he's an old guy talking. I get that, but I thought there was a great contrast to what we know some of these countries are really in for.
Right. You know, so it was in contrast to Putin or Xi or the North Korean leader, and in contrast to Trump.
Well, isn't that thing? What about Orban? I mean, Orban. He loves Orban. Trump does. We have some more Biden at the UN from yesterday. We're going to cut number 7, if you would please, Jess.
In our time, the center has held. Leaders and people from every region and across the political spectrum have stood together, turned the page. We turned the page in the worst pandemic in a century. We made sure COVID no longer controls our lives. We defended the UN Charter and ensured the survival of Ukraine as a free nation. My country made the largest investment in climate, clean energy, ever anywhere in history. There will always be forces that pull our countries apart and the world apart. Aggression, extremism, chaos, and cynicism. A desire to retreat from the world and go it alone. Our test, is to make sure that the forces holding us together are stronger than those who are pulling us apart. That the principles of partnership that we came here each year to uphold can withstand the challenges. That the center holds once again.
You know, he was playing off a very famous poem by the Irish poet William Butler Yeats that goes, things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the land. And here he is saying the center did hold. And I think he was referring to France. I think he was referring to Britain. He was referring to us after January 6th. It looked like it wasn't going to hold. Mm-hmm. And there was mere anarchy on January 6th. And so it's an optimistic vision that we will survive this period. And yet, you know, we need to make sure that we don't go in that authoritarian direction that you were mentioning, Dom, because that is the real challenge right now. And I give Biden credit. He has stood for democracy through his whole administration. That was the reason he ran. And that's, you know, he stood up. Will forever be in his debt for beating Trump.
And it's a continual struggle. You know, this is not something that, you know, you declare victory on. Hey, great speech. It's all over. It's done today. I mean, much like the P-Drive, poof, all the problems are gone. You know, it is a constant ebb and flow of that center. You know, if you're down for the people, if you're down for democracy, if you're down for, you know, being able to love who you want, to live without fear, without want, you know, that's true freedom. And these things are never guaranteed to be passed along. You know, they're not in the blood, I think was what Reagan said. You know, these things have to be encouraged and fought for generation after generation. And, you know, certainly his generation, you know, they did it. I'm just hoping that we can follow up.
Yeah, now it's our turn. That's what Kamala Harris says. She's absolutely right. She doesn't say it's my turn. It's our turn. All of our turns.
You know, Gen Xers. Yeah, baby. Here we go.
The baton's been passed to all of us. We better catch that baby.
The Middle East, obviously, some challenges there. They continue. He did address that. Cut number 4, please, Jess.
Now is the time for the parties to finalize its terms. Bring the hostages home and secure security for Israel and Gaza free of Hamas grip. Ease the suffering in Gaza and end this war. I've met with the families of those hostages. I've grieved with them. They're going through hell. Innocent civilians in Gaza are also going through hell.
War is hell.
Full-scale war is not in anyone's interest. Even if the situation has escalated, a diplomatic solution is still possible. In fact, it remains the only path to lasting security to allow the residents from both countries to return to their homes and the border safely.
You know, I feel sorry for Biden here a little bit and for Secretary of State Blinken. And these guys have been working their hearts out to get to a peace agreement. I remember 2 months ago, I saw Blinken on CNN say, we're on the 10-yard line. We've moved down the field. We're now on the 10-yard line. Yeah. All we got to do is get in the end zone. They haven't got it in the end zone yet. No. And you know, every time they
need to have willing partners in the game, don't you?
Well, that's the problem. Uh-huh. I mean, Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, recipient of billions of dollars of aid from the United States. Every time he gets close to a deal, he does something adventurous, and you know, he goes attack someone. He, you know, blows up pagers or goes attacks Lebanon. I mean, it's just he's just not a partner right now. He's sabotaging, has been sabotaging the peace process every step of the way. And don't get me wrong, Hamas and Hezbollah and Iran, you know, these guys are not good guys. I'm not naive about that. But look, bring him to the table. It was looked like there was an agreement, and then he kept moving the goalposts. Netanyahu did.
This has been going on my entire life, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when, you know, Yasser Arafat came to the White House.
Yes!
It looked like this.
The three handshakes, yeah, they all shook. Was it under Clinton, right? Yeah, we're going
to solve this problem. I mean, I remember when Anwar Sadat came under Carter, and then he got assassinated. And, of course,
got assassinated by extreme
military people in
his
Egypt.
Own country. Yeah.
And then Yitzhak Rabin got assassinated by right-wing settlers in Israel. And those assassinations have consequences.
Yes.
We know assassinations in the United States have had consequences, too. Bad ones. And so here we have, you know, Netanyahu, who's clinging to power because he knows he will be prosecuted.
Well, he's got his own issues. He's very Trumpy in that regard.
Yeah, totally.
Incredibly.
It's all about staying in power so you don't have to face the music and go to jail.
And so to have a world leader come up and in address that he acknowledges is going to be his final official address in this position to the United Nations, saying we need diplomacy, that we need communication, coordination, not more aggression. We don't need more strongmen coming in and saying, this is the way. The way is that you do. You just blow everything up.
I mean, Netanyahu's just been flipping Biden off here for you know, months and months and months. And
do you think he's playing political games? I mean, obviously, we're in the middle of an election here. Do you think Netanyahu is... I mean, I have no idea, man, but I mean, he's getting aid from us. There's obviously this is a world in turmoil to some degree, and much of it to his reaction to it. Do you think he's just playing some games on our side?
Yeah, I mean, I think he recognizes he'd be better off if Trump wins rather than Kamala Harris. Trump's son-in-law is in tight with Netanyahu and has been for a long, long time. And, you know, they wouldn't enforce the agreement. I'm hoping that Biden, after the election, actually get serious with Netanyahu and with withholding military aid if he keeps playing this really horrible game that he's playing. He can do that. He has the power as the president if human rights violations are occurring by a recipient of U.S. military aid. And I'd like to see that happen. He can't do it before the election because of political costs, but he could do it afterwards. He could do a lot afterwards when he's sitting there just with a couple months left.
Waiting, right, the lame duck. He was also apparently on The View today. We got a few cuts from that. A more relaxed President Joe Biden. Let's do cut number one, please, Jess.
Working with Kamala, she is bright, she is tough, she's honorable. And the thing I like about her, and the one thing we share in common, is that we have an optimistic view of the future here.
Yeah,
I mean, this is, there's nothing we can't do. And there really isn't.
The American dream is dead. That's what we hear from Donald Trump.
Right.
And I had no idea how much I missed the optimism until Harris got involved here.
Yeah, and her speech at the convention was a very sunny speech. That's why people have made comparisons between that and Ronald Reagan, you know, because she does offer an optimistic view. Biden offers an optimistic view. All Trump says is, you know, we're a terrible country in terrible shape. It's never been worse.
We're all going to die. One more from Biden on The View. Cut two, please, Jess.
I just think the environment is such that we can get so much done, but we have to focus. We have to believe in ourselves again. And that's what I like most about Kamala.
You know, he did a great job here praising Kamala Harris for being bright, tough, honorable, optimistic. You know, she's been there. She's seen it all. I relied on her. She's someone we can all rely on. And he needed to say that, too.
A great endorsement from the current president to hopefully the next president. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. Matt Rothschild in studio. Jess on the board. You on the phones coming back next. 855-752-4842. We'll talk about the mayor of Wausau and take your calls.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I don't know about other states, but in Wisconsin, we help our neighbors and love our communities. But California mega millionaire Eric Hovde doesn't seem to get that.
Maybe that's why he questioned whether children should be able to stay on their parents' insurance until they're 26. And whether people in nursing homes should be able to vote. Hovde called for raising the retirement age for hardworking Wisconsinites and making obese people pay more for health care. And a Hovde company even spent decades trying to demolish the building housing Madison's oldest family-owned bar, something they finally did this year, shuttering a treasured neighborhood institution for good. That is not how we do things in Wisconsin. And that is why we can't let California mega millionaire Eric Hovde represent us. Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio. Your news just for the Amory area. I'm James Kelly with WLAK News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate? My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. Our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines right now, 855-752-4842. Wisco Paul, you've been the most patient. Let's get you on the line. Hey, Wisco, what do you got for us?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Nice show, Dominic.
Thanks, man.
And I always enjoy it. Yeah, I was going to enjoy it, man. Hey, Biden doesn't get enough credit. Did an awesome job from where we were at 3.5, almost 4 years ago, SNL. And I think someday people will look back at historians and they'll go, why this guy saved us. Here's the thing that gets me today is, if I have my facts right, Trump sided with Putin today in the war in Ukraine. That means, in my mind, he doesn't care about NATO. And how can this guy even be relevant with statements like this? And I'll ask you and Matt that. And thanks for taking my call. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Paulie. I mean, it's more of the same, I think, Matt. You got any opinion on that?
Well, I agree with Paul, and Biden deserves a lot of credit and will go down in history as a great president. You know, I have a slightly different take on Ukraine because for 30 years at the Progressive magazine when I was there, we were warning people about the risks of nuclear war. And I'm worried, you know, Zelensky's over here trying to get us to give him long-range missiles and can go deep into Russia. And I don't want to play a game of nuclear chicken with Vladimir Putin. And there's no way that Ukraine's going to win the war. So we got to start thinking of how we can get negotiations and diplomacy and get these two sides to the table and find a way to end this war. And so I'm a little less belligerent on Ukraine than I know some folks are.
855-752-4842. Callers, be patient. We will get to you. Thanks for the call, Wisco. the mayor of Wausau. Let's just throw this one out there. We're gonna run out of time here. Apparently, he filmed himself. He took pictures himself of moving a voting drop box.
The official drop box. I'm looking at the Wausau Pilot and Review. And he's looking doofy here with a construction hat on and green gloves.
He's posing, right?
He's posing. He's wearing a suit and tie, too, yeah, which doesn't quite go with the outfit. And he's moving the drop box. And that's going to confuse voters who saw the drop box in one place and now they don't know where the drop box is. The city clerk has already reported as an election irregularity to the Wisconsin Elections Commission and to law enforcement. A lot of the council people aren't happy about what he's doing. And look at this is an illustration of elections really matter and voting matters. He won over Katie Rosenberg, who was a great mayor up in Wausau, who helped purify the water from PFAS up there.
Well, I mean, look, who wants clean drinking water?
She gave him clean drinking water. She lost by all of 424 votes out of about 10,000.
Oh,
and now they have this doofus up there.
And she was, I met her when Me we were too, up in Wausau. She's a wonderful person. Don't know what's going on up there, but we do know the new guy, Denny. Here's what he said, according to the Wisconsin State Journal. There is no difference than the maintenance guy moving it out there, he said Wednesday. I'm a member of staff. There's nothing nefarious going on here. I'm hoping for a good result. A good result. Now, apparently, they had not yet drilled it into the ground, fastened it to the ground, and the drop box itself was locked. So there were no absentee ballots in the drop box. But this, I mean, this is literally what the Republicans claim is problematic. They create, they say the problem, they cry the wolf, and then they become the wolf. I mean, this is what they're talking about. I mean, it was like we had someone in Milwaukee send out some ballots just to show you how you could scam the system. Well, you don't rob the bank to show them how you can rob the bank. Shouldn't there be consequence to this?
Right, and it just fuels their propaganda and Trump's propaganda about the last election. I mean, it's like the Dodge County Sheriff, Dale Schmidt, who told the county, you know, don't use drop boxes. I mean, who are these guys? I mean, it's just they've got their little fiefdoms and they want to throw their power around and deny the voters the opportunity to be able to vote in the easiest way possible.
But the maintenance guy or the mayor, they don't have the authority to move or remove or add or do anything. I mean, this is out of his purview,
right, it's supposed
as
to be this,
mayor.
Yeah, it's the city clerk's job, according to the Wisconsin Elections Commission. I mean, but there he goes, you know, pulling a stunt,
and I would say breaking the law.
Yeah.
If people, maybe some Judas Priest. I mean, people see that, like, what's the first thought? If you're one of those Trumpsters, you think, oh my God, these drop boxes are terrible. Look how easy it's for this guy. You know, if you don't read into the article, you don't get the background. All you see is the picture. Hey, this guy's hauling away a voting box. That's why we don't want to use them. I mean, there should be some consequence, don't you think, Matt?
Well, I mean, has there been consequences for Gableman or for Brangin or for anyone else who was just spewing the most ridiculous propaganda? There's been no consequence for that here in Wisconsin. I mean, finally, AG Call's gone after a couple people who were instructing the false electors, but the false electors have gotten off.
Well, they were, you know, they were duped, man. They had no idea what we were doing. You know, I'm only attorneys. You know, come on. I'm only the head of the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin, at least at the time. Folks, there is governance going on there. The Hill is reporting that senators passed a short-term funding extension that keeps the government's lights on until mid-December and averts a pre-election government shutdown days before the end of the month deadline.
Yeah, and the Democrats brought this over the finish line.
Thank you, Democrats. The Senate voted 78-18. Of course, it passed through the House earlier today. I mean, it's amazing what they can get done when they're on the hightail out of town for 6 weeks and wrap up the election. They got a little business done. But now we're going to have this fight at the end of the year.
Yeah, the charade keeps going on and on.
Folks, thank you so much for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you, Matt Rothschild. Thank you, Jess. Well done today. Stick around. Nightlight with Pete Schwab is coming up next. I'll be in studio tomorrow with our pal Earl Ingram Jr. Check him out, 8 to 10 a.m. on WAUK.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll talk more about the American Stability Act, the transformational legislation that will protect and raise up the middle class.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Todd Albaugh Show.
They're eating the pets.
J.D. Vance has said on the air that he admitted it was all a lie. Packed right, load, words have consequences.
Of course they do. When we're talking about the incendiary remarks about immigrants, we're not talking about the fact that it was Donald Trump and Donald Trump alone who killed the bipartisan border security and immigration reform bill.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.